This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. What an amazing conversation. So much to learn. So many questions have been answered already about cognac, and we still have another 20 minutes of full-packed fun information. Before the break, I have my friend Irina Panamarenko, cognac educator, with us. And before the break, we talked about what is cognac, where is it grown, what grapes go into the process, how is it made, and we came to a very interesting part of cognac, of the aging. I'm sure a lot of you have picked up a bottle and it's, you see the letters on it that says VS or VSOP or XO. And Irina is going to tell us what those letters mean. Can't wait.
Yes, awesome. So as I mentioned before the break, cognac can only be called cognac after it has spent 2 years in a barrel, in an oak barrel. So after 2 years of aging, it can be released. And if it's aged for at least 2 years, it can be called VS or very special. So if you pick up a bottle and it says VS, it means it's a fairly young spirit and it spent a minimum of 2 years in barrel. If you pick up a bottle and it says VSOP, that means that cognac aged for a minimum of 4 years. And if you have an XO, that means it aged for a minimum of 10 years. Now, there's a new category that is fairly recent. It was approved a couple of years ago, and that is XXO, which means extra, extra old. And that guarantees you a minimum of 14 years of aging. There can, of course, be vintage cognacs. They're not very typical. But a vintage cognac will have a vintage date, so it comes from the spirits, from the wines that were picked in a single year, and then it will have a date like 1985 or something.
Mm-hmm. So if a vintage cognac says 2008, it means that the grapes were harvested in 2008, and that's the only grapes that went into there, because this brings to another question that I have. So the grapes are picked in 2008, the wine is made in the year, it's distilled, and so that's why it's a vintage cognac 2008.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, it means the grapes were picked in 2008. It means from that harvest of 2008, because most brandies are blends, including cognac.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Yeah.
Yes, they typically blend from a number of years. For a certain consistency for the style of the house. So if it says XO and you remember it means it's at least 10 years of age, it doesn't mean that there aren't any spirits that are older than 10 years. So it can be a blend of a 10-year-old spirit and a 20-year-old spirit, and that still qualifies as an XO.
So the youngest spirit that it's in XO should be at least 10 years old. But there could be ones that would be like 10 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old, 40 years old.
Yes, that's correct. The letters refer to the youngest spirit in the blend. But they blend not only for spirits of different ages, but also of, they can blend different grapes. They can blend different parts of different plots of land, different vineyards from different parts of the Appalachian. So it's a blend of a lot of different things for consistency of style.
Wow. It's, being a winemaker or being the cognac maker, is there a title for someone who makes cognac?
For someone who... Well, it depends
who distills and cognac. Because there's like for wine, you have a winemaker. Who is the guy who makes cognac? Cognac maker.
Well, you know that there will be, of course, there will be wine grower, a vine grower. There will be a winemaker, and there will be a distiller, and then there will be a master blender. The master blender is the person who takes care of the distilled spirits in the cellar.
It could be. It could be the same person.
It could be the same person. In a small house, it will be the same person. In a large house, they will be different jobs, because typically large houses buy in the spirits. They don't grow grapes. They don't distill the wines. They just age the spirits. And then there are some growers who grow the grapes, who make the wine, and they may also distill. So it can be four different people, or it can be the same person who combines these jobs.
Wow. I think as a distiller or a master blender, you have to have really a good and precise notes taken so that you do not forget what you did in which year. So that's this, you know, something to take very seriously.
You have to have a great nose, and it takes years and more than a decade to train to become a master blender sometimes for a large cognac house, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So, all right. Before we go into how to properly taste the cognac, because it is a very important part of the enjoyment, the glassware, I think, is very important, as I learned from tasting with you. I wanted to ask you if all the cognac grows in one area, or is there like different areas before we switch to drinking and serving and pairing with a food part of the program?
Well, the cognac area covers, the cognac vineyards are approximately 75,000 hectares. They just approved an extension of that, but the area is fairly large. So yes, there will be differences in what the French call terroir. There are definitely differences in climate, some differences in climate, but primarily the differences are the soil. So the best soil is in the center of the Appalachian, and it has the highest concentration of limestone. And if you are into wine, you may hear the word limestone a lot, because some of the most famous European wines come from limestone soil. Think Burgundy or Champagne. So cognac also has limestone, and that's where the best spirits come from. So in the very center of the Appalachian, which is called Grand Champagne and Petite Champagne, that's where you have the most limestone and the longest aging spirits. So it just happens that limestone, for some reason, produces spirits that take a very long time to develop, but they also reach the greatest complexity. And then as you go out, further and further away from the city of Cognac, the soils have less and less limestone, and those spirits tend to age less. They develop faster, and they don't develop complexity as great as that of the Grand Champagne. So you'll typically find the cognacs that are in the VS and VSOP category being produced from those slightly outlying areas that don't take a long time to develop, that are ready to drink young.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is there a price difference between, you know, cognacs that come from Grand Champagne versus the other parts? Is there, what about, or maybe this is another topic, what about Armagnac? Is it related to cognac? And why is it called Armagnac?
Armagnac comes from the area that is called Armagnac. It's another appellation. It is also located in France. It is, if you picture the map of France, and if you know where Bordeaux is, immediately to the north of Bordeaux is Cognac, and to the south of Bordeaux is Armagnac. So it's a somewhat different area. It is more inland, so the climate is going to be warmer. Also, it has different soils. There are more sandy soils rather than limestone. Grapes of Armagnac, are slightly different. They also use a lot of Uni Blanc. They use more Feuille Blanche and Colombard. And also the style, it's a different distillation process. They use a single distillation. They distill to lower proof. So the spirit tends to be more rough. So it's a different style of spirit. And because the climate is warmer, it tends to extract more from the oak. So after the aging, it's also it gets more from the oak, I think. So if you are into, let's say, tequila and mezcal, I think it's a similar analogy. So tequila and mezcal is like cognac and Armagnac. So mezcal is a rougher version of the agave spirit, and Armagnac is a rougher version of the brandy.
That's a perfect way to explain that. I mean, not to explain, but to bring the difference to someone who would ask that question. Okay, let's get now to how to taste it properly and what is a good glassware to enjoy it and not to not to have an aversion to cognac.
Okay, so typically people think of brandy glass as this round fishbowl-shaped glass, a cognac snifter. Those typically tend to emphasize alcohol, so I try to recommend to stay away from those. I think a better glass for any spirit actually is a tulip-shaped glass, so something that has a smaller bowl. Even if you have a small white wine glass, that's often better than that huge round snifter. Because something with a narrower bowl will tend to emphasize the aromas rather than the alcohol. When you taste, you better not swirl like you do with wine. Remember that spirits have a much higher alcohol concentration. So when you swirl, you release a lot of alcohol. So just gently turn the glass to cover the walls of the glass, and then smell the spirit, because aroma is the primary way of enjoying it, and then take a sip.
I remember the very first time, I have not been a fan of hard liquor. I enjoy wine more. And I remember when the first time I tasted with you and you showed me the difference between tasting a cognac in that, you know, fishbowl, in that cognac snifter, versus a tulip-shaped glass. And I could just see the difference, how much better it is and how much more pleasant it is, because in that bowl I remember the only thing I could smell was the alcohol, but when I had it in the tulip shape, I could smell all the delicate aromas of cognac. Now what about those shots? Because like let's say in Armenian parties, in the family gatherings, you know, you would see the cognac or brandy or, you know, being poured into this little shot glass and then...
I always tell people that shot glasses are perfect if you're drinking bad booze, because there is no room for you to smell anything. It's designed for you to bypass your nose and just get drunk fast. So I would never use a shot glass for anything.
Okay, so that's cleared as well. Serving temperature. I have seen, you know, going back to those snifters, people, you know, hold it in their palms to warm it up, or, you know, some people say, yeah, the cognac needs to be warm. What is the right temperature to serve cognac?
Yeah, what's worse, there are even contraptions that allow you to put a candle underneath that snifter to warm up the glass. And I don't think that those are good. First of all, they overheat the liquid. And again, the first thing that's going to evaporate, remember, it's going to be ethanol, right? Because it boils at a lower temperature. So that's going to hit your nose rather than aromas. And second, you may burn the aromas. So I would never recommend heating it up. Actually, a lot of brandies are served too warm. Room temperature is fine, but it should be cool room temperature. So not your summer unair-conditioned California room temperature. Something, in the, let's say, low 60s Fahrenheit range. In Celsius, I would say no higher than 18 Celsius. So cool room temperature, French castle room temperature.
French castle.
Yes, exactly. But younger cognacs would actually benefit from chilling. In younger cognacs like a VS or a VSOP, since they didn't spend a lot of time in oak, the alcohol and the oak aromas may not be as integrated as they would be in a very old cognac. So if you chill them, that would actually tone down the alcohol, and they might be quite enjoyable at refrigerator temperature or even freezer temperature. So frozen cognac has become somewhat fashionable in the area over the past decade or decade and a half. So you keep a bottle of vodka in the freezer, you can keep a bottle of a VS cognac in the freezer. It goes well with some food or just as an aperitif.
Mm-hmm. Bringing to the next question, does cognac always consumed after dinner, or you can have it with dinner, or you can have it with appetizers? How versatile is cognac?
It is extremely versatile. Of course, people have this old-fashioned idea that cognac is an after-dinner drink. And if you have a beautiful old cognac, of course it is. But especially younger cognacs, like the VS, VSOPs, can very well be enjoyed as aperitifs in mixed drinks and cocktails with food. You can pair them very well with certain foods, especially. If you are doing food pairings with cognac, stay away from something that's too healthy. Not really vegetables or salads, but something substantial, something that has quite a bit of fat, grease, caramelized flavors. My absolutely favorite pairing with cognac is foie gras. So something that is intense in flavor and fairly high in fat works very well. Caviar, foie gras, what else am I thinking of? Desserts that have caramelization and chocolate. Chocolate is perfect. Smoked fish would go perfectly with, let's say, a chilled cognac. So that's a perfect aperitif and an appetizer.
And what about from freezer, like cognac from the freezer, what would you pair it with?
Well, again, you would pair it with same as any other cognac, but especially things like cold smoked fish and caviar. I think a frozen cognac would be totally perfect with it. What else would go well? Certain cheeses, for example, especially blue cheeses, go very well with cognac. With younger cognacs and frozen one, something like brie, something creamy cheese would go well.
Delicious. Well, I don't know how, but our time came to the end. This was a wonderful conversation. I learned so much. I'm sure our listeners learned as well. Thank you for spending your time. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. If any of the listeners have any questions, you guys can message through the website, reach out to Irina. She's on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of the day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.